I'll just tell you that Eve Engler has an excellent article. It appeared in Counterpunch. That's counterpunch.org. It was November the 28th. It couldn't be more timely. It's titled A Humanitarian Coup, The Real Purpose of International Aid to Haiti. And Eve Engler is also you can find him at there's a book his family is involved with. It's called newcommunist.com. And, of course, you can always go to eveengler.com. But right now we have Eve Engler. You there, Eve?
How's it going, Phil?
Not bad. And we're sure glad to talk to you. November 28th, counterpunch.org. I read this article. I like the opening. It says, step one for everyone trying to make the world a better place should be listening to those who they wish to help. We've been, according to our governments, helping in Haiti. But it doesn't seem to be a very happy situation. And according to your article, the government of Uruguay is withdrawing its troops. By the way, troops, there's an odd word for people trying to help. How do we get in this mess, and are we helping?
Well, the quick answer to the helping question is no. I think that Canada's clearly over the past decade, maybe a bit longer than that, been hurting the majority poor in Haiti and contributing to political destabilization and undercutting the majority poor's attempts to improve their lot. And in terms of the UN military occupation, basically it flows out of Canada and the U.S. France overthrowing Haiti's elected government February 2004. And there's still about 10,000 foreign troops, mostly Brazilians, well, biggest contingents, at least Brazilians, Uruguayans, which were being pulled out, Argentinians. There's also still Canadian troops, Canadian police officers, and a contingent of about, I think it's 50 Canadian troops that were sent down a few months ago, a new contingent. And in the article, I quote Haitian senator, one of the more popular politicians in the country, Moïse Jean-Charles, who discusses the removal of the Uruguayan troops, and he basically says we don't believe that it's Uruguay and Brazil and Argentina that's really behind the occupation of Haiti, but in fact it's the U.S., France, and Canada. Mm. And just point out that you don't hear that in the corporate media. You hear that, you pick up the left weeklies in Haiti, you hear that over and over again, that yes. Canada is dubbed an imperialist, and they use that word, or occupier, or some version of that, and yet you basically never hear that in the dominant media in this country.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, now this is Eve Engler. You're quite right. Our media actually talks about elections, and they do not mention that the Canadian government and, of course, the American government are happy with the exclusion of the most popular political party or movement in Haiti. Exclusion. And no one has a problem with that.
Yeah, we fund the elections. That's, Canadian taxpayers, it's supposed to be part of our contribution to democracy in Haiti is funding these elections, and Camila Vallas has been excluded since the head of the party was overthrown a decade ago.
By the way, please emphasize. By the way, Eve, if you could speak just a little louder, it's a slight wobble in the voice. But you brought up something. You say the current mayor of Montreal was one of the architects of the removal of Aristide. Is that right?
Yeah, Denis Coderre, who was a Liberal MP until...
Why can't we exclude him?
yeah.
It's a crime, isn't it?
Lots of people in Montreal that would have liked that. But But yeah, Denis Coderre, who's you know, he was Liberal MP until a few months ago. He was Paul Martin's point person on Haiti, and he was the person who over and over again on different media outlets he justified killings that were taking place by the Canadian financed and trained Haitian police after the coup. He, you know, repeatedly went down to Haiti and hobnobbed with the dictator Gérard Latotou that was plucked from Florida and put in power in Haiti after being in Florida for 15 years after the coup. He was basically a central architect of Canadian policy in Haiti for a couple of years. And during the recent election in Montreal, he, as far as I could tell, and you know, reading the three main Montreal daily newspapers, there was no mention of his role in Haiti. That was passed without comment, and except for one article in the Montreal Media Co-op, there was basically no discussion of his role in contributing to violence and more misery in Haiti. And that seems par for the course with the corporate media in this country.
Well, of course, we have corporate media. I don't know what word shall we use to describe our parliament. Isn't it kind of the job of a guy who's elected to parliament to ask a few questions, to keep the government honest and to reassure their own electoral constituency that they are in charge, that they have command of the facts and know what's happened? Are there any voices in Parliament asking about this?
Not for a few years. When the Canada Haiti Action Network was really mobilized, there was lots of efforts. The Haiti Solidarity Group here in Ottawa was in contact with the NDP's foreign affairs critic Alexa McDonough with her office, prodding her to take up the issue. There was mild comments made in different foreign affairs committee hearings that dealt with Haiti. There was efforts to have NDP MPs go down to meet with the who was the prime minister, who was sitting in jail after the coup, who was Aristide's prime minister, Yvonne Neptune, that were pushed, and the opposition parties were not keen to do that kind of stuff. So there's been mild criticisms here and there, but basically you have agreement with the dominant parties. The Green Party at the time did release quite a few pretty good statements that were critical of Canadian foreign policy, but mostly it's just been dropped from the agenda. And all, according to the official story, all that we hear is that Canada is trying to help Haiti, and it's wonderful what we're doing. And actually, in recent editorials in the papers over the last couple of days around the Conservatives' economic diplomacy announcement about how Canadian foreign policy is all about advancing economic interests, which was a paper released on Wednesday. A number of editorials I saw actually cited Haiti as an example where, it wasn't just about economic interests. This was an example. We were sort of like a beacon of human rights or democracy promotion or whatever. So it's still live in the dominant media today, but the voice of it's not clear if it's the majority of Haitians, if it's a substantial minority, but large numbers of Haitians who believe and who have demonstrated and who've their inclination when able to vote is to say that Canada, the U.S. and France are occupying their country or have overthrown an elected government. That voice basically has, there's no echo of that voice in any institution of authority or power in this country. We're left with, Canada's just a benevolent helper of the poor Haitians.
Yeah, it makes me glad we have some independent radio and journals with the name Co-op behind them. We're speaking to Yves Engler, and by the way, you can go to newcommunist.com or to yvesengler.com. Yves, there's a terrible thing that occurred there, and you pointed out the blue helmets and the nice guys show up. But it turns out they brought with them a health issue, and a lot of people died. Could you talk about that?
Yeah, the UN troops, specifically Nepalese UN troops, are the originator of the cholera epidemic that has ravaged Haiti for basically just a bit over 3 years now. Left 8,500
people. And it's not over, right? And there's still health issues.
No, there's still health issues. 8,500 people dead already. 700,000 made sick. Still, you know, cases by the day, by the week. It's slowed down, and it's certainly in the death toll has slowed because there's, you know, a better sense of what's going on and a better handle on it. But there's still, you know, people getting sick and still, you know, smaller numbers of people dying, very little being done to deal with the, you know, underlying issues, which is, you know, proper sanitation. It's not a particularly complicated disease to deal with, at least in a medium long term, as I understand it. It's a question of, you know, infrastructure.
Is there compensation? I know there was talk about this, but will Haiti end up with money put into their account to pay for all the damage done?
There's a lawsuit. There's a lawsuit being led by Bureau Avocat International and Institute for Justice and Democracy in Haiti, which is a Bureau Avocat International is Port-au-Prince based and Boston based IJDH. There is a lawsuit of the UN. The UN has still not taken responsibility for it, even though there's I think it's probably about almost a dozen or so now, different medical investigations, different, you know, journals, all kinds of, all the, you know, prominent medical journals that have shown that where the cases. But the point is, it should be made clear, it's not just a question of there was happened to be Nepalese troops that had a strain of cholera and brought it, you know, which would be, you know, very unfortunate. But it's the fact that there was terrible sanitation at the base where Nepalese troops were. Mm-hmm. There was an AP reporter that was on the ground at the time that showed how poor of a sanitation there would be. Sewage from the Nepalese base was going right into a river where people drank from, where they knew that people were drinking from, and that's what led to it. Was basically a question of neglect and disinterest in Haitian, you know, sort of life. And it didn't just, you know, even a couple months, I think it was 6 months after the cholera epidemic began, and, you know, all kinds of, you know, the horrible toll of it, there was IT Liberté reported on a number of other instances of UN troops once again dumping their waste in very negligent kind of ways, and it sort of speaks to the core of the question here, which is that Haitian lives just don't matter much to the UN occupation force, to the powers that be in Washington, Ottawa, Paris, and it's, you know, so it's, well, we can dump our sewage, yeah, if they, you know, some kid goes swimming in the river and drinks it, and, or, you know, that's actually a place where they get drinking water from or whatever.
Oh my God.
You know, no big deal. It's not, you know, not a big deal to us. And that's why it's, you know, it's to a point where it's being forced to actually have a lawsuit to get some compensation. Not only just to the victims of specifically of the cholera, but also to people. Why not, if the UN is putting all this money into military occupation, put money into building the sanitation system that would stop cholera, going forward? But that's not the priorities of the powers that be.
Not their priorities. Well, Eve Engler, it's been great talking to you. The real purpose of international aid to Haiti, November 28, counterpunch.org. Thanks very, very much.
Thanks, Phil.
Yep. Bye. That's Eve Engler, and he points out that in February 2014, it'll be the anniversary of all these bad things, and he says that Haitians are going to take to the streets, and he wonders if the Western media will report it. And the answer is no. We're going to take a quick break, and you're listening to Taylor Report, and we'll be back.